Ramsey TV.
Greetings, fellow believers in the Lord and Christ Jesus. This is Martin Zender, and I'm going to do the best I can today. It's Sunday afternoon as I talk to you. About an hour ago, my pain level was at an 8. It's hurting worse to swallow. I've taken a bunch of pain medication, so... But the show must go on. You know that. The show must go on. I told you I have an appointment with a wound care specialist on Tuesday. I'm going to try to get that moved up to Monday. To today, as you're watching. Again, to me, it's Sunday. I might as well show you what I'm dealing with. I mean, I know I don't want to gross you folks out, but I don't know. I debated whether to or whether not to. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to count down 5 seconds, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then I'm going to leave a picture of what my neck looks like for 3 seconds. So it'll go like this. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 2, 3, 4, and then I'm going to take it off, okay? So, this is what the three bacteria have done, but I'm confident that, and you might say, well, let me go ahead and do it, and then I'll elaborate just for a short time, and then I'm going to read an excerpt from a beautiful letter and card that was sent to me by Linda Morse of California. Linda, thank you. And then I'm going to go to Philippians 1:29. This might not be a long show, but I always say that, and then once I start, I can't stop talking. So, you ready? Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 2, 3, 4. There. So, yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks a little different now. Kind of worse, actually. The hole's a little bigger. It's dark in there. The hole is not in my throat. It's in the cyst. You might say, God, Martin, you better do something about that. I've been to 8 doctors. I went to the emergency room. Yeah, I went to the emergency room looking like that, and they did nothing for me. No cleansing, no bandage, no nothing. This is a Broward County hospital. Okay? The only thing they did for me was take a swab, which ended up identifying the bacteria. So there's that. And, and I've been on 5 antibiotics by this time. Not all at once, but I took 2 at once and then 3 other ones before that. Nada. These are very resistant. These strains of bacteria are very resistant. They're stubborn bastards. Okay? So surgery might be my only option. If I could get the surgery tonight, I would do it. It's really getting to me. But the strange thing is, the only comfort I really get is when I run. Because when I run, the blood leaves this area, you see. The blood says, oh my God, this nut's running again. He's probably going to do what he always does. He's going to run for 2 hours. So send the blood, get that blood the hell away from that infected cyst thing. Send it to the legs, the lungs, the heart. And so after about 5 minutes of running, I get relief. And I can swallow decently. And it's like, so all I have to do is run all day. See, that would solve all my problems. But that's not very practical, is it? No. So I'm a little drugged up right now. Feeling good, though. I mean, I have a window of opportunity, and I told Maria, I got to make a show with this window of opportunity. So, there it is. Thank you for your love and prayers. Speaking of that, I got a beautiful card from Linda Morse in California. Couple cards, couple pieces of mail. Linda, they came to my old address, which is why it took me a while to get them. She says, Martin, praying that he will meet your needs, capital H, in all the ways to show you his great goodness and love. And then she writes this handwritten. I don't think she'll mind me. I'm not going to read the whole thing, Linda, but I don't think you would mind me sharing this. Because this shows what strong faith this woman has. Oh, how blessed are we, the believers. Free from sin and death, we will surely have much physical pain and sorrow in this life. But so what? And this is a woman who has suffered greatly. It is only temporary and so worth it. Listen to this. It's only temporary and so worth it to feel just a tiny portion of what Jesus endured on and before that pole. I feel so very close to you, Martin. You are my family. We are a rare breed. You are in all of my prayers. What a beautiful, beautiful sentiment there. On the opposite side of the page, I should read this too. This is good. Christ's sacrifice is the means by which believers are freed from sin's power and restored to God, enabling them to walk in new life. One more thing, and then we're going to go to the scriptures. This is for you too, Scott Hicko, okay, because she mentions you in here. You remember I put out the call right before the conference. Everybody just come to the conference. Drive to the conference. Drive to the conference. She said, "Dearest Martin," and she wrote this back on April 28th. It's been a month, and I really apologize, Linda. Like I said, it went to my old address, but I'm still friends with Juliana, and so she got word to me. Some of us are unable to attend the conference due to finances, health, work, etc. Everything inside of me wants to be there to see you and Scott Hicko in person. The fellowship would be a dream to me, better than a Beatles concert. That got to me, that analogy, better than a Beatles concert. Remember the Beatles wanted to be bigger than Elvis? Well, we're bigger than the Beatles. When you think of the Beatles, you think of the most famous people in our lifetime that have walked the face of the earth, and they're just so iconically associated with culture and the, some might say, the decomposition of culture, the degrading of culture. But I love their music. I still think it's very positive in a negative world. But to say that a conference would be better than a Beatles concert, you're right. It was so much bigger. Someone might say, "How dare you compare yourself to the Beatles?" Yeah, you're right. There's no comparison. What we are is so much bigger and greater than people who write cool songs. I mean, thank God for them. It made life easier and more enjoyable. And I've told you there's nothing wrong with fame. You know, we're fascinated with famous people, right? We want to know all about their lives. We watch biographies. Reread autobiographies. And that's fine. Don't feel guilty about it. It's just that it's the wrong people are famous. People are famous for kicking balls into nets, throwing balls into hoops, playing guitars, singing songs, all sorts of strange things people are famous for. We will be famous. Like Adam was famous. Don't you think Adam was famous in his day? My God, the man lived for, 700 years or something? He had lots of kids by the time he died. To have an audience with the patriarch was a big deal. You got all dressed up and, you know, you got an audience. You probably had to apply years ahead of time to get an audience with the patriarch, like the first human being. The man was uber famous in his day. Melchizedek was uber famous. Moses was kind of infamous because the people didn't like him that much. But we will be the, oh my gosh, we will be God's celestial dignitaries. People will seek an audience with us. But Martin, is it bigger than Elvis? Yeah, it's bigger than Elvis even. The fellowship would be a dream to me, better than a Beatles concert, better than anything I can think of. To shake your hand, give you a hug, take a photo with you, meet Maria. See, everybody wants to meet Maria, my wife. I'm sorry she couldn't make it. I said at one time she was going to be able to make it, but it turns out that she wasn't able to make it. I'm sorry about that. To shake your hand, give you a hug, take a photo with you, meet Maria Scott would make me smile and give me such joy. But God's plans for my life have always been hardship, loss, pain. But through all the many hardships, I thank God. Listen to this. What a woman of faith, Linda Morse. I thank God because they always bring me closer to him and his son. You say, everyone come. I wish I could. I'm living on, well, she goes into some of her situation. I don't want to get too personal there. But her daughter watches my show too. And I'd like to greet Linda's daughter. And Linda, hello from me. It's nice to know you two are watching the show together. I love it. So what I want to do now briefly is, let's see if I can be brief. It's harder to be brief. Mark Twain said, I love Mark Twain quotes. They're so clever. He said, I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have time. And that is so true. It takes so much more labor intensive to be succinct. Anybody can ramble on and on about a topic they're interested in, you know, for hours and hours, but to be succinct and to say something of substance in a short amount of time, that's a real skill. It takes longer. Now, what Paul says, starting in Philippians 1, 27, I feel like saying to you, no, I'm not saying like I'm the Apostle Paul or anything, but I'm just saying that I have the same disposition toward you. Those who watch this show, my fellow members of the body of Christ, we're so close. You encourage me so much. You've given me so much. I wouldn't be here without you. And this is the best audience, again, the smartest audience on YouTube. And I love you all. So this is my disposition toward you. I'm aware that I shall be, I'm in verse 26, okay, Philippians 1. I'm aware that I shall be remaining and shall be abiding with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your glorying may be superabounding in Christ Jesus. In me, through my presence with you again. For me personally, that happened at the conference. My physical presence. Only be citizens walking worthily of the evangel of Christ, that whether coming and making your acquaintance or being absent, I should be hearing of your concerns, that you are standing firm in one spirit. This is what I want of you so much, to stand firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the evangel. And not being startled. I'm going to do a little bit of a study on this, these next couple of verses. And not being startled by those who are opposing in anything. Don't be startled. And I know it's tempting to be startled, to be surprised when you are come up against for your belief in the salvation of all, your belief in the sovereignty of God, which entails your disbelief in free will, your disbelief of the Trinity. Isn't that the thing that everybody has to believe or be damned? That's what the Christians tell us. But in fact, a belief in the Trinity keeps one from the body of Christ. And you know why? If Jesus is God and God can't die, Jesus could not have died. And yet the death of Christ is a foundation stone of our gospel, of Paul's gospel. I really want to start this again because it's so important. Please listen to it again. And this is me talking to you. I am aware that I shall be remaining and shall be abiding with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your glorying may be superabounding in Christ Jesus. In me, through my presence with you, again, only be citizens walking worthily of the evangel of Christ, that whether coming and making your acquaintance or being absent, I should be hearing of your concerns, that you are standing firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together. United we stand, divided we fall, competing together in the faith of the evangel, and not being startled by those who are opposing in anything, which is to them a proof of destruction, yet of your salvation, and this from God. Let's slow down a little bit there. Those who are opposing you, your church friends, you believe what? You think everybody's going to be saved? You think that God controls whether you believe in God or not? What are you, a robot? You hear this. How can you not believe in the Trinity? Everybody believes in the Trinity. You're a freak to your friends, your church-going acquaintances, and some members of your family. Don't be startled by this, because this is actually proof. It's hard to say, but I'm quoting scripture. It's proof of their destruction. Martin, what's destruction in the context? Good question. Let's go on. Which is proof of their destruction, yet of your salvation. That these church people are opposing you is proof of your salvation. Like, you're believing the right thing because you're being opposed by people for whom the cross has become a snare, a stumbling block. They can't handle the completeness of it. And the fact that they're bucking against you, the fact that they're saying you think you can sin all you want and you're still saved, oh, they like that one. You're telling me that you're so free from sin that no sin can get you out of Christ. Yes, that's what we're saying. So their opposition, this is Paul talking, not me now. Their opposition is proof of your salvation. It proves you're on the right track. That you get the same objections Paul got is proof of your salvation. I mean, we know we're saved. We don't need proof. But here is proof. We don't need proof. God gave us faith. We know that we're believers. We don't need proof. But Paul says, tell you what, I'm going to give you some proof. Those who oppose you on these critical issues, like salvation of all, the sovereignty of God, the death of Christ, freedom from sin, the truth of justification, worldwide conciliation based on the cross. The fact that people oppose you, that's proof that you're on the right track. Only in this context, Paul says it's proof of your salvation. So if it's proof of your salvation, what is the opposite of salvation? Paul says destruction here. But you have to ask what kind of destruction. Well, since the opposing thing is salvation, the destruction would be loss of aeonian life. Proof of loss of aeonian life. Those who are opposing you prove that they do not have aeonian life, at least not in the body of Christ. I don't know if I can go so far as to say they wouldn't have aeonian life in the circumcision evangel. Probably not, but there could be cases where they would. But we're talking the body of Christ being saved from indignation. Forget about it. They're all going through the tribulation. And their opposition is proof, so you shouldn't be startled by it. In fact, God's doing, and what does it say? And this from God. This is from God, this opposition. For one thing, it shows you who are believers and who aren't. If you want proof that you're saved, the opposition from church people is proof. This is an amazing passage. Proof that you're saved. If I can remember this, I'll name the show. Why don't I always have a pen here? I'm a writer. I don't have a pen. Proof. Proof of your salvation. Who knew there was proof in the Bible that you're saved for aeonian life? Not eternal life. Everybody has that. Talking about aeonian life. Who knew there was proof? There is. Their opposition is proof of your salvation. What does it prove about them? That they don't have aeonian life. See you at the consummate. No, see you at the great white throne. See you at the great white throne. Those who are opposing you see you at the great white throne. And remember, Paul says this from God. And then verse 29, I love this verse. I've gotten a lot of use out of this. For, that word for tells you that what he's about to say is connected to what he just said. For to you it is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also, having the same struggle such as you are perceiving in me and now are hearing to be in me. We are living, those of us who are suffering for our faith, who are being opposed, we're living the same, we're suffering the same trials that our apostle suffered. For to you it is graciously granted. What is graciously granted? To be opposed, to be vilified, to be lied about. Yeah, graciously granted. But not only that, well, Paul says it in the reverse order. Not only to be believing on him, there's a proof verse that there's no free will. It's been graciously granted to you. Let's go back to you. Let's go back. For to you, it is graciously granted. It harkens back to the verse, what do you have that you did not obtain? What do you have that God didn't give you? Key verse there is God is operating all things, and it all is out of God. It is graciously granted to you for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but that's not the topic of this passage. But Paul includes it, but he's getting to the main point. Not only to be believing on him, that is graciously granted you. You couldn't have done it, could not have done it on your own. But to be suffering, graciously granted to be suffering, yes, for his sake also. And this kind of struggle is the same struggle our apostle had. It is graciously granted you to suffer evil. And you don't have to be crucified to suffer evil. You don't have to be beaten to suffer evil. What is the suffering of the context? Opposition. Opposition. That's it. That's suffering that counts with God. When you are opposed, when your beliefs are opposed, when my show is opposed, when the truths I teach are opposed, that's from God. So I've learned to, A, not be startled by it, as Paul says here in verse 28, but secondly, to look at it as proof from God of my salvation. And the negative part of that is their destruction. But it is only destruction for aeonian life. They are not destroyed indefinitely. It's only for the eon. They rise at the great white throne, and depending on their works, they're judged by their works. If their name's written in the book of life, which it probably is, you have to be a pretty bad apple to not have your name written in the book of life. If you're not written there, you go to the lake of fire, which is a second death. Just more death. Don't worry about it. Some more death. Remember, there's a great white throne. It's white. The judgment is perfect. It's glorious. It's righteous. Okay, but chances are your opposers will end up on the new earth, albeit as mortals, but they'll be pretty happy about it. But as for you, these things are proof of your salvation. So glory in the opposition, glory in the struggle, glory in it, glory, 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 because your redemption draws nigh. And when Christ comes for us, he will be bringing wreaths and rewards with him. But of course, we receive the one thing that could never be called a reward, could never be paid to us, and that is our salvation. Because it is by grace are you saved, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. By grace you are saved, and through faith. And this is not out of you, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It is God's approach present. In the old days, people had to bring presents to God. In these days, God brings presents to us.